For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The thing that sets the Enneagram apart from these other tests or these other systems is that it's not about your behavior, but instead it's about your motivations for why you do things a certain way or why you behave a certain way.
Welcome back to That Twin Mama podcast. I'm your host, Lauren. Today we're diving into a topic that we have not yet fully dove into on this podcast before. It's something that has been a tool around for centuries that has completely transformed the lives of people, the relationships of people, and the way they go about the world. What is it? The Enneagram. Now, I don't know if you all have heard of this. I just recently discovered the Enneagram. Not recently, but if you know my page, I am no stranger to a self-discovery tool. We've talked about astrology on the podcast. We've talked about human design work. We brought on therapists to heal inner child or generational trauma. I'm all about all the things. But for me, I just discovered the Enneagram maybe 3 years ago. And what I'll say about it is while a lot of different, it's a personality, you can start with it as like it's a tool, but I found it through like a personality test, a type of test similar to Myers-Briggs or Strength Finders. What I found with the Enneagram, it's not really about the behaviors that we do or how we even might perceive ourselves to be. It really gets to a deeper level, which is like what motivates you to do what you do. Have you ever looked at a partner or a child or a relationship, a friend, and you're like, why do you do the things that you do? What is going on in that brain? Or even wonder why you react the way you react to certain things, what triggers you, why you end up falling into the same patterns. If this is something that you've ever questioned, then this episode is for you. Today, we have the Enneagram GOAT, the most knowledgeable person that I've ever seen with it. Her page alone is what inspired me to go on my path to discover more about my Enneagram type. So joining me today is Ashton Whitmoyer-Ober, better known as Enneagram Ashton on Instagram. She's a community psychologist, a certified Enneagram coach, an author, and public speaker who has helped thousands of people use the Enneagram as a tool for self-awareness, personal growth, and deeper relationships. She founded Enneagram Ash 2019 to help individuals and teams better understand themselves. And she's also the author of several books. I've read two out of the three of them, which I highly recommend. But The Enneagram Made Simple, The Enneagram for Relationships, and The Two of Us, Three Couples Journal. On this two-part episode, the first part, we go through all the Enneagram types. So if you are someone that has never heard of Enneagram, this episode is for you. If you are someone that's very versed with Enneagram, this episode is for you. It's a great refresher. And also you learn so many new things that you didn't realize. So we talk about all the types of the Enneagrams, their highs or their lows, or what they can look like when they're stressed or when they're growing. And we also get into relationships and how knowing your Enneagram or your partner's Enneagram can like monumentally, that's the right word, change your relationship. My husband and I have been using these tools, understanding his type and him understanding my type, for like consistently over the past 3 weeks when we've communicated and had conflict. And when I tell you it's been a game changer, it has been a game changer. In our second part, we talk a little bit more about the other fundamental relationship in our lives, our kids. How does the Enneagram look in parenthood? What will be hard for each type? What will be easy for each type? And things to know about your type and in parenting to make you the best version of yourself when you show up for your kids. So I hope you all enjoyed this two-part series. I really, really enjoyed this one. So hope you all do too. Let's do it.
This is That Twin Mama Podcast. But hey, you don't have to be a twin mom to be here. I'm not like a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. So whether you are new, soon to be, or seasoned parent, or maybe you just hope to have kids someday, I promise you'll find something to love, learn from, or laugh at in each episode. I'm your host, Lauren Birdie. Let's do it.
Okay, hey y'all. Today I'm joined by none other than Enneagram Ashton. And when I say I've been looking forward to this call for like weeks, months, if not years, as soon as I discovered Enneagram Ashton on Instagram, I was like, I have to know more. I have to get her on the podcast. But basically, she's a community psychologist, a speaker, and author who has helped thousands of people understand themselves and their relationships better by using the Enneagram. If you don't know what that is, we're going to get all into it. But Ashton, welcome to that Twin Mama podcast, girl.
Thank you so much for having me. I know we've been looking forward to this for so long, so I'm so glad it's finally happening.
I'm so excited. And by, I don't know when this is going to air, but this, y'all, is my first interview since my boob reduction. So it's a big deal. That whole episode is coming soon, but like, I couldn't be more excited to come out of my bed healing lair for this conversation. So before we all dive in, I want to start with you, Ashton. And like, before we get into what the Enneagram is and like all the different types, I want to know if there is anything personal that happened for you in your life that pushed you towards self-discovery or self-awareness or on this journey to learning more about the Enneagram? Or like, how did you start getting interested in it? Was there anything personal that called you to it?
Totally. So, you know, I've always been interested in psychology and self-help. And like, it kind of was a joke with my friends in high school because I'd always be like reading some sort of self-help book and journaling. Yeah. But when I was in college, I actually went through an abusive relationship. And that, I was an elementary education major, and that pushed me to want to switch my major to psychology. And I really just started down this path of like wanting to help people with healthier relationships and increasing their own self-confidence and self-esteem and self-worth and things like that. And so all of that has been kind of the entire purpose of my life. And then when I discovered the Enneagram, I was like, wow, this is an incredible tool to be able to do just that.
Wow. That's so powerful. And like, thank you for sharing that too. It's interesting. You said you're like your major. Before we start recording, y'all, I'm on the call with my producer and Ashton. There's just so much overlap, but like me and Kimmy, my producer, both worked at Teach for America for like a big chunk of our lives before we ended up doing what we're doing now. But just education was a big focus. And when I think about like, I feel like there's always a catalyst. Like we all do things for self-discovery. Mm-hmm. Some people naturally fall into it. You always kind of have that intuition of like wanting to know more about yourself. But for me, I really got into astrology at some point. It was when I first had my son. I have twins now when I was older, but then I had my son when we were 23, like on birth control, surprise pregnancy with my now husband. But like that rocked our relationship. And I remember being like overwhelmed. He kind of reclusively went in. He doesn't talk about his feelings. My husband doesn't. And I was looking for a tool to speak a language to understand myself more, but also him. And like that was astrology for me. And so when I discovered Enneagram, it's very different and we'll get into what it is, but like it is another tool to understand yourself and like better relationships. And so I love that that was a catalyst for you. Okay. Yes. Before we get into like all the things, let's start with the basics. Like I know you have your book, The Enneagram Made Simple. Y'all, I highly recommend the read. We'll give you the basics now, but it's a very simple, easy way to digest the 9 types of the Enneagram. But first, what is the Enneagram? What is it? Where did it come from? What the heck is it?
So the Enneagram is what we call like an ancient typing system, meaning that it's really, really old. It's actually so old that we can't pinpoint exactly when it was created or developed. We know it's between 2,000 to 4,000 years old. So it was developed over in the Middle East, kind of transcended to different philosophers and psychologists in South America, and then came to the United States in like the 50s, 60s. The first books in English weren't written on it until around the 80s. So we saw like a rise in popularity, and then it kind of died down a little bit. And then with, you know, the internet having access to information at our fingertips, as well as social media, we've seen a rise in popularity over the past decade, I would say. So it is a typing system, meaning that it separates people into 9 different types or 9 different ways to view the world. Like I always like to explain it as lenses, because we're all viewing the world differently based on the lens of our Enneagram type. The difference, a lot of you listening probably have heard of Myers-Briggs or Strength Finders or DISC assessment. Like those are all great too. Before I knew the Enneagram, like I was also obsessed with them. But the reason or the thing that sets the Enneagram apart from these other tests or these other systems is that it's not about your behaviors. Like, yes, stereotypical behaviors will play into your type, but instead it's about your motivations for why you do things a certain way or why you behave a certain way. And those motivations are typically split up into your biggest fears and your biggest desires. And that ultimately drives your behaviors.
Yeah, I love that distinction too, because that was like the switch aha moment for me where like, different Enneagrams can show up in the world differently, because it's not really about your behaviors. It's why you're doing, what's the motivating factor. And we'll get into my husband and what he's typed as and how he was like, no way. But then we got deeper and was like, no, it's what you're motivated by. So I just love that distinction. It's not necessarily about how you feel like you behave. It's like really going deeper about why you're motivated to. And that's based on your fears and desires. I love that. Okay. So let's get into the nine types. If we could get like a little, I know it's way more than what the little description she's about to give y'all. Again, I would say read her book. But can you give me a little description of each of the nine types?
Yeah. So I will tell you, so each type has a title to it. The titles that I use come from the Enneagram Institute. And if you see other titles out there, like those aren't wrong, necessarily wrong. These are just the ones I was trained to use. And then I'll go over the core fear. And so the biggest fear and the biggest desire of each type.
Yeah. Lovely. That's perfect.
So the one is called, also called the reformer. So their biggest desire is to be seen as a good person, to be moral, ethical, right, to do the right thing. And then for other people to do the right thing. Their biggest fear is then the opposite of that. So being seen as a bad person or doing the wrong thing or being incorrect or being imperfect. So sometimes perfectionism is associated with Enneagram ones because we think of perfection as like the right thing. And so they can get caught up with that. But that doesn't mean that everybody is a perfectionist. It's just a stereotype.
Got it.
Or everyone that's a one is a perfection. So twos are the helper. So their biggest desire is to feel loved, wanted, appreciated, needed, desired. Their biggest fear is being unloved or unwanted, not appreciated for the things that they're doing, you know, just not being seen and loved for who they are.
Yeah, side note, both me and Ashton are both twos. Kimmy, the producer on the call, is a two. And my former assistant who put me on to Enneagram, Ashton, shout out to Amanda Adams, was also a two. There's a lot of twos in my world. But that's how I identify. Okay, sorry.
One key thing about twos is that in general, so I didn't even say this. Tests, Enneagram tests are a great place to start, but they aren't always accurate. And that's because we are testing based on A, how we're feeling in that moment. And B, we're often answering questions based off of our behaviors instead of our motivations, right? So it's really hard to have clarifying questions. For example, maybe a test is asking you, like, do you feel like you shy away from conflict or address it head on? You know, you might feel like, well, it depends, or you're not getting to the why you avoid conflict.
Oh my gosh, right? Ashton. Yes. Okay. I'm just going to say this now because you're pulling the words right out of my mouth, because for all you all that don't know, I took the test a couple years back when I first discovered Ashton, and I tested as a four. And I remember thinking, interesting. I was in a different period of my life. I was starting to grow my business. I was having to put on this like really different kind of boss independent hat where like I couldn't start like really feeling, I don't know what it was, but I was a four and I felt weird about it. I was like, okay, I guess that's what I am. And then I did this recently when I knew Ashton was going to be on and I was a two. And I remember when I was a four, I was thinking, I'm surprised I'm not a two, but okay. And this time when I'm a two, I was like, wait, am I a four? So I'm curious, the fact that you're naming that the test can be inaccurate is not something that is weird to me. It sounds like it's just a test. It's limited. And you can like take questions based, because I took a screenshot, like, which is your biggest weakness? There was one of the questions on one of the tests. I remember taking a screenshot. I'm like, well, it depends on the situation, or it depends on who I'm talking. Like, it's always, it feels. So what advice would you give someone that if you're starting with the test, like to remember as you're taking it to maybe not be mistaken, or what to do as a follow-up?
Right. So the thing that I tell people first is take a test, and I'll give you some for your show notes. Take a test that's going to give you your results as a probability. So not one that automatically says like you are a two or you are a seven. Instead, one that will give you like percentages, you know, like maybe your top three results are 2, 4. I don't know what your third was. 2, 4, 6 maybe.
Yeah.
2, 4, 9 sometimes get scored together. But so, and then you would take those three, those top three, and explore it deeper and see, okay, which one is actually me? So that's one step, you know, and then you could also work with somebody like myself. Like I help people figure out their type. So I'll send them a test to start and then help ask those clarifying questions, right?
Yeah. That,
you know, why do you fear conflict, or why do you feel this need to be a little bit different than others? Or what, you know, well, why does this specific situation make you feel weak? Because again, in tests, you aren't getting to those specific answers.
That's super helpful. Yeah. Cause there was ones like, how do you confront people, or do you feel shy to confront someone or be assertive? I'm like, when it comes to my kids, no, like it just depends.
Right.
And so like, it would have been great to have follow-up questions with that. So that's super helpful. We'll definitely make sure to link the like correct test that Ashton refers to in the notes, but also do your research after. It might not be just as simple as a test. Okay. Let's go to Enneagram 3.
Okay. So 3 is the achiever. So their biggest desire is to be successful, but ultimately they want to be like valued and respected and seen as competent because of their success. Yeah. And then they fear failure the most, but it's because of how they feel when they fail. So like they'll feel that they're incompetent, or they'll feel like they could be disrespected. So again, it's like, it's like what comes first, the chicken or the egg? I've been saying this a lot lately, and I don't know why, but it is, it's like, do I fear failure because I, you know, I'm afraid that I'm going to be seen as invaluable if I fail, or sometimes do I feel invaluable because I fear failure?
Yes. Ah, that, see, I thought I was a 3 in my head. I think I heard this on one of the other podcasts you were on. Don't try and trick the Enneagram test. Like you can like think in your head that you are like, I'm a 3. I'm like super, whatever you think in your head that you are. If you try and answer that way, you'll might get those results. Really go with like what your gut is saying, because in my mind, I was like, I'm probably a 3. And I'd have myself thinking like, what would a 3 answer, or what do I want to answer? And there was sometimes dissonance, and I went with like, okay, what do I want to say versus like what I want people to think I am. There's like a difference. The Enneagram will get down to the differences. So, okay.
And your behaviors probably look a lot like a 3 because you're an entrepreneur. Like stereotypically, and this is why tests are hard, because, you know, again, we're answering based on our behaviors. And so I also test as a 3 because there are just some things that you have to do being self-employed. And when I first discovered the Enneagram, like my entire family was like, you're a 3, you're a 3, which is another side note on don't try to type other people, because what you're seeing are people's behaviors, unless you're having those deep conversations with others about what's motivating you to behave that way. Like, yes, I'm motivated and I'm driven, but it's because I want people to like me.
Right, exactly. 110%.
Yes.
Oh my God, I resonate with that so much. Oh, yeah. I love that.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Okay,
so four. 4 is called the individualist. So their biggest desire is to be seen as unique or special or set apart, just a little bit different. And to be understood for their big feelings. They're typically the most emotional and outward about their emotions than other types. Their biggest fear is that something is inherently wrong with them, so that they're defective, that they're kind of like the black sheep, they don't fit in. So like they kind of want to be different, but they don't want to be have something be wrong with them because they're different.
Right, right.
They also fear being like cut off from people emotionally, because emotions and feelings are really important to them.
Okay, that makes sense. I don't know why I tested as a 4. It was a time where I was like leaving my career I'd been with for 10 years and being-
I'll tell you in a minute while you test
as okay, 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 okay. We'll go into that.
It makes so much sense.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Okay. 5.
So 5s, they're called the investigator. So their biggest desire is to have knowledge, but whereas 3s want success because that makes them feel competent. Fives want to have the knowledge because that makes them feel competent. Mm. So they want to be knowledgeable, competent, and capable because of the things that they know.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
And then they fear like not knowing something, being seen as ignorant, or having their personal space or resources invaded on.
Huh.
So fives are the most introverted of all the types.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. Sixes. Sixes are the loyalist. So they're the ones that are kind of stereotypically associated with anxiety, but it's not anxiety in like the traditional generalized anxiety disorder. It's this worry, worst case scenario thinking that they're not going to be prepared enough for whatever comes their way. Huh. So their biggest desire is to feel safe and secure. And their biggest fear is typically fear itself. So they fear, you know, not being able to be prepared for something. They fear not having guidance or security.
Yes. I feel like that's like the intrusive thoughts for them is like worst case scenario of like, I maybe like going out or doing anything. I mean, I had a newborn mom. I had intrusive thoughts, but I imagine at a six, it might be like very, very intense, very anxious.
Well, they're just like constantly on guard, right? Yeah. Of like what could go wrong, anticipating. Yeah. And it's not always a bad thing. Like I always get people on my Instagram who are like, you always make sixes out to seem like
paranoid.
They're paranoid or terrible people. And I'm like, no, like being able to prepare in that sort of way is really amazing. Like I wish that I could prepare the 100%. Way my husband's a six. So I wish that I could prepare the way that he does, and it, like my life would be totally different. I feel like if I was prepared. Yes. So it's not always bad.
Not at all.
So yeah. Okay. The seven. So as with fives being the most introverted, sevens are the most extroverted.
Okay. So my cousin tested as a seven, which I was like, what? But go on. Okay.
Okay. So the seven is called the enthusiast.
Okay.
So their biggest desire is to have fun, to be happy, but ultimately they are seeking contentment. So a common thing for sevens is that they're looking for like newness or experiences or whatever that looks like for them, but it's because they're wanting to feel content.
Yeah.
So their biggest fear is being trapped in any sort of emotional pain or negativity. So like anything that could bring them down or hold them back.
Yeah. And so interestingly enough, and for those of you who know Ryan or are a fan of his band, like he's been described as one of the least approachable members of the band because of like, he's the drummer. So it's actually physically hard to get to him, but he's just there. He seems very serious. So when he got his seven, he was like, this is strange. Like what? Like, I don't understand that. And I had him tested again because I was like, really? A seven? And he did it again. He's like, I got a seven. And then last night we were speaking about it a little more and I started to look at more longer paragraphs, right, about what a seven is. And I was like, and I read it out loud to him. And he's like, oh, and like the part of him, like actually kind of like going towards what he's interested in and having a lot of energy. He's a freaking drummer, a professional drummer. How seven of a career choice is that?
Like, yeah, it is.
Like, career choice. And then like also just his optimism on life. And if someone is toxic or not good or bad, like I, for me, when I see someone that's going through something, I like kind of want to understand their feelings more, or maybe still try and build a relationship in some way, he will just cut off. He'll like remove himself from a room. And I always thought it's because he's, I don't give a fuck energy, but it's, I think he's protecting his, he doesn't want that. He doesn't want contentment. He's like protecting his positive vibes. I'm like, okay, that is so Ryan. And I was like, once I oriented towards that, it's not actually the way he behaves, but why he's motivated to be a drummer, why he's motivated to leave a room when someone's being toxic, why he's motivated to, like, you know, say, I'm like, oh, it's ugly outside, it's raining. He's like, no, it's great. Like, it's just how his brain works. It's like only the positive thing. Anyways, it just surprised me because I was thinking you have to be like life of the party energy, like kind of how I project my behavior, but it doesn't always necessarily look like that. And that was mind-blowing to me.
And that's why, like, so what you see on the internet and social media is oftentimes like your stereotypes, right? So people sometimes who struggle to figure out their type, they're looking at these things and being like, well, that doesn't fit me, right? Or that doesn't align with who I am. And you're not doing like the true work of seeing how it does show up in your life.
Yes. I love that. I love that distinction. 100%. Okay. Seven's biggest
fear. Okay, the eight. Oh yeah. Seven's biggest fear. Yeah. Being trapped in negativity.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay, yeah, the eight.
Okay. So the eight is called the challenger. So their biggest desire is to protect themselves and other people. This typically looks like people that they feel need to be protected. So sometimes like their people or vulnerable populations, you know, just somebody that they feel need to be protected. And then their biggest fear is being seen as weak or powerless or controlled in some way. So they typically do have a very strong energy. Like you can tend to feel the energy of an Enneagram 8. Like you probably know an Enneagram, like everybody listening, you probably know an Enneagram 8 because they just are kind of a force of nature.
Really? Right. Are they, I feel like they'd be the people that like, if there's an injustice, they'd be like in the front line.
Yes.
Like, if not. Yes. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, so my sister's an Enneagram 8, and I always say that she's been, like, fighting my battles since 1989. and I just, like, I'm, like, you know, turning 36 this year, and I'm still like, hey, this person was mean to me on the internet. Can you, like, you help me out?
Hold me back.
Yeah. They spring into action. Like, they're action takers. They just know what they need to do to get the job done. Okay. And then the nine is the peacemaker. So their biggest desire is to maintain a peaceful environment for themselves, for the people around them. And then their biggest fear tends to be conflict. So that's not saying that they're the only type that fears conflict. It just makes up their motivation for doing things, right? And the reason that they fear conflict is because they want to stay in a peaceful environment. Whereas twos like also don't really love conflict, but their reason for that is because they're afraid it's going to harm like their relationships or the way 100%. That people view them.
Yes, that's so true. I avoid conflict like the plague. Maybe I probably twos are people pleasers. I mean, I'm a people pleaser. I'm trying not to, but that makes sense. Okay. I see myself in this too. Okay. Yeah. And I love your book, like the Enneagram for Self-Discovery. You get more deep into like each Enneagram and really understanding like where you can, like we talked about earlier, how it's easy to get mistyped just through a basic quiz and how you have to do a little bit more deep, like digging deeper to truly find your type. What if someone should someone do if, okay, and actually let's get back to the four and two. Like for me, I had that. Like I literally thought I was a four for a couple years and then I was a two. Like, why do you think that happened? You said you kind of knew or it made sense to you.
Yeah. So, and the thing about my books is that like people always want to skip ahead to the type that they think that they are.
And you guys are probably going to do that too. Listen to this whole podcast. Okay. Going through the, like, listen, it's important. Okay.
And the reason that you can't do that, I mean, I can't, you know, force you, but the reason that you shouldn't do that is because we are connected to so many types as our types. So, for example, we have access to the numbers on either side of our type. So, for the two, I'll use the two since we're both twos. Yeah. That means that we have access to the one and to the three. We call them wings. So a lot of a common misconception is that it's just your second highest score. So some people will score high for a two, high for a four and be like, oh, I'm a two wing four. And I'm like, that's not possible because they do have to be next to your type. And the point of them is you'll pull characteristics from them with your motivation staying in your main type. So for example, I know this is our first time meeting, but I would assume that you're a two with a three wing based on the things that we've talked about so far. And that's why, again, people will look at your behaviors and see the three because you're taking on that three wing so strongly.
Yeah.
So we're connected to both wings. Those can fluctuate. Your main type will stay the same, but your wings can fluctuate based on like season of life. Some people also say I feel more like this wing when I'm at work and this wing when I'm at home, whatever. So the other types that we're connected to are our arrows. So if you're familiar with the symbol of the Enneagram, there's a bunch of different lines, and those lines actually do mean something. They aren't just there for art. So each type is connected to two more types. And so sometimes we take on those positive characteristics in certain scenarios, and we take on some negative characteristics in certain scenarios. So the two is connected to the four.
Yeah. It's like something. Yeah. Anyways, go on. Anyways. Yeah.
So typically the two will go to the four when they're feeling like really healthy or like the best version of themselves. Sure. Sometimes though, and that's taking on the positive qualities, but sometimes what we call our blind spot is when we take on the negative qualities of that growth number. And so this is typically around the people that we are the most comfortable with, our close friends, our close family members, our spouses, you know, our kids. So that can look like taking on some of the unhealthy qualities of our, that's what we call our growth number. On the other side of that, is what we call our stress number. And for the two, that means that when we're stressed, we take on the unhealthy qualities of the eight. And that can look like lashing out.
Oh my God, stop. Okay, go on. Go on.
Feeling like you're losing control. You might get angry, quick to anger. But the good side of that, or the positive side of your stress number, is like true growth. So when twos go to the eight on the high side, we're able to exemplify like leadership and set boundaries and be able to stand up for ourselves and fight our own battles. So to speak.
I kind of love that, because like, it's almost like our inner like yin-yang, or like our inner balance, where like a two, I feel like it's in us to just put so many others before our own. We're like people pleasers by nature, where it's like, if maybe you have, I feel like you have only a certain amount of time and capacity to do that before you're like, something breaks, or your cup filleth over, like, or like, or your cup is too empty. Right. And then like you're eight, you're like, I think in my mind, picture like an inner mad eight, just being like, stop it. Nope. Boundary set. Like, we have to reset this, because it's taking away from like your inner, you know, whatever it is to protect you in a way. It's almost like our bodies are our type's way of protecting us to like, let's do a little reset, because we're doing too much of like two-ness. When you put that, I had like a visual. I'm like, that makes sense, because when I do get like that, it's with my family, and it's because I'm overwhelmed with things.
Right.
Yeah. And like helping others. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why it's important to look at all of the numbers, right? So it's easy to, even like on Instagram, right? It's easy to just, you know, look at the posts that relate to your type or whatever. But it's so helpful, because we're actually, even though there are nine types, we're connected to five of them. So we have our main type, we have our two wings, and then we have our stress line and our growth line. And so we need to learn about all of them.
And that was part one of my conversation with Enneagram Ashton. Join us next week, where we get into another really important relationship that we have. That's right, our kids. We'll talk all about how the Enneagram works for parenting, what each type looks like in parenting, what each type really thrives with in parenting, and what they might have some struggles with, and what it looks like when we're stressed in parenting, and things to look out for. I know that part of the episode really enlightened me as a parent, and it's helped me show up better for my kids. So I really hope you enjoy it. But before you go, make sure you leave a 5-star review if you love this episode, or leave a comment or anything that you learned from it. Also, if you know a friend or a family member that could benefit from knowing about their Enneagram, please share this episode. It does a lot for the algorithm to make sure that these get seen. And it does a lot for me and the team to make us keep on going. Also, if you want to see us on Instagram, we are at That Twin Mama Podcast. So please follow along there. And if you're a visual person like I am, and you want to see these videos in all of their glory, go to our YouTube channel at That Twin Mama Podcast. Till next time, see y'all soon.
Peace.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.